Now we move on to the next section, part B, with a money flow T for the high yield bonds. You notice that this is an exchange traded fund, and they only use three letter symbols, so it's JNK, which stands for junk. High yield bonds are they sound good, but they're low quality, and so the term that people use is junk. You don't let that bother you, but because I think that's where the public is going, and out of desperation to get high yields. In the second chart, we're going to talk about the. I just wanted to review the. I have a question on people who will not go down to low quality and junk, and they're looking for a purified ones. And they're having their problems with the long term treasuries. Or intermediate treasuries or whatever it is, and that we're going to and they were using Robert's stuff, which I think I did last week, which is TLT, tilt. I don't know about that one, that where that name came from. Okay, and so we have they're in an oversold condition, and so there's a potential opportunity for that one to come through. But I will remind you in the third chart, which is a 20-year plot of VUSTX treasury bond fund with a 52-week moving average, that the opportunities to buy, the risk in bonds is when you're above the blue 52-week moving average by a certain percentage, and the opportunities occur when you come back to that blue line and get a little bit underneath it. In that chart, I show various places where there's lows where you're underneath the moving average, and it says no low. It says no low, but it should say no low yet. You're gonna make a new low someplace along the line. So this, at some point, we're gonna have to figure that out. But we don't know whether to do it now or what. It's the money flow indicator is supposed to give an answer, but I'm not sure that we have everything solved as far as the money flow T's in the Bromont. So I just leave it as it's better to follow this. Blue 50-week, 2-week moving average, and say that if you want to buy more bonds, you should get in there. Okay, with that preface, let's go and let's talk about the money flow T's for the high yield bonds, because that's where you get the opportunity for the most bang for your buck. In that chart, just as an overview, the money flow indicator, which uses the midpoint for the rally, has produced a top indicator, and that top indicator came in okay. It's equal time, and the money flow T has produced a decline in JNK, which has come down. It's had a little bit of a rally. It was presumably going down to where the red line is, which is 37.86 and so forth. Well, one of the questions that I got submitted is, what's the best bond? Well, there isn't any. Okay, well, at least if you define best bond as the one that's going up, the best of the bonds, what used to be the high yield bonds. Okay, and since they're supposed to presumably have made a money flow top, and they're turning down, that they can't be construed in all good conscience as a place to make money, because there's a problem there. Okay, the other side, if you take the best bond as just the high yields versus the treasuries are in a bomb zone. You can say that they're getting to a low, but you don't know how low it's going to be low, so you can't say anything on that. So the answer is that there isn't any best bond. If you're trying to make money over the near term, when you get to mid-December, you're going to find out there probably is an answer, okay? But you can't. So anyway, so Orville says to me, "Hey, what's interesting about the bonds is that if you will, from his experience, because he's a trader, which means he's trading his own money, okay?" He's talking about the Rydex family, which has investment entities and then the anti-investment entity called the inverse bond, and so he's saying that that the thing you look at when you find out that you can't make any money going up in high yield bonds, you get the inverse bond going down. I believe that signal is RYIHX, and that's for traders. It's not for investors, because investors aren't going to go in the short sale on bonds, although maybe they should. But his suggestion is that is the he says I would buy RYIHX, which seeks to provide investment results that inversely correlated to the performance of high yield bond fund. He likes the RYDEX family because the creation of an inverse fund is a complicated procedure. They don't actually short the stuff. They have an arrangement with somebody else. I think they have an arrangement which is usually done through derivatives or swaps. However, in the RYDEX family, since they control both sides of it, there's probably something built into that and so forth. So if you're interested in that sort of thing as a trader, I would say you go take a look at that fund. Go to the RYDEX family, look for their high yield bond fund, and then look at their inverse yield fund, have it plotted out so you can see what the difference is and so forth. But in any case, that's the way that's you know, if you're a trader, if you're doing this stuff for a living, you have to make money every month or every couple of months. So that's one of the little tips he's passed on. Now the thing I wanted to talk about in selling climaxes and the whole idea of this thing is the unusual thing about the money flow T in the JNK is it only, as what I've shown here, is you take the left end of the T is the absolute, is the selling climax into early May. That's the flash crash, okay? So what happened is the market flashed in into a crash, it came back out again, then it made a higher low, and then it made a succession of higher lows over a series of market declines that were actually better. They were basically up for the money flow, for the high yield bonds funds, whereas the market was actually coming down. It was making a divergence bottom and so forth. It made its peak in early August, and you do the time series with equal time here, and you get a top, and okay, so it comes in a little bit early, so what? There's no problem on that. So what this suggests to you is that in the concept of the money flow T, you had better find the intraday low to start it with. And that's seen in the TLT, which Robert did, what you're trying to do is find the earliest low. There's another question as to whether you should take in the money flow T for the JNK, whether you should move back to some prior bottom. But this one is so big that I think that's probably where you start it from. You know, there's always going to be an ambiguity on the chart. But the evidence of this tease is that you have to look backwards for a selling climax. What's interesting about this, which you might not know, is that if you use a fund that closes at 4 o'clock, sometimes you can't see this intraday crash. But exchange-traded funds, which change all day, can have a high volatility, which for a momentary purpose will get you an extreme low. One of the arguments against why timing doesn't work is because the market is efficient. Well, if the market was efficient, they wouldn't be making these crashes, right? So the converse of that argument is if you can find a crash low where things momentarily go out of kilter and you get this either a blow off to the upside or a blow down to the downside, that's what you want to watch. So there's an indication in here that if you wanted to make a lot of money, what you would do is you would make sure that you raise capital before you go down, or have money handy in some way. What the brokerage houses do is, because the money is given, if they have a bad thing, the government's got to give them money anyway, so they're always going to have the money. Okay, but if you're an individual and the government isn't giving you money, you have to arrange that for themselves. And if you see this thing fall down into a free fall area, you have to go and get it. Okay, because there's no such thing as a T, and money flow T's are what I call inline T's. See, what you're doing is you're taking that early May low and you're going up to find a midpoint within a line that's traveling up. So I call them inline T's. And you don't wait for cash buildup phases. if you're looking for something that is really, really exceptional in the mid-December low, it's always probably worthwhile to look in the exchange-traded funds for a trade, because if you get computer programming or any of this derivative trading things that suddenly flashes you into a mid-December low, the ones that close at 4 o'clock don't necessarily see it, but the ones that are traded during the day could spike down. And the spike down, it's not obvious in this chart, but the spike down in the S&P is always under the green line, the lower level of the channel. So if you go into mid-December and something really bad happens as a result of the previously discussed process, carries you down into it, if you see something, if you see the S&P go below the green line, that you're in a flash crash type situation, and you look around for any entity that you like that you think is bullish on the problem cells, you don't look for an accumulation pattern or anything like that. It's just as long as they can make a spike low, as they did in early May, and then they can hold it. It doesn't matter how long you come out of it, because you're going to end up looking at the overbought conditional in the money flow index. And so the whole equation changes over. And then you're going to say, when they get that, so it's overbought, you have a pullback or something, but there's another half to it. So that's the big thing that's different about money flow indicators are inline T's, whereas standard T's are basically contrary opinion, because you're taking a cash buildup phase on the downside and going up. Maybe when you make the transition, you have to remember this. And right at the point where you're making the transition, it's possible to look at all your options for the one which is the selling climax, where things become irrational. And therefore, the argument that the market is efficient breaks down, and in the inefficiency, you get your opportunity. But it's a very sound idea. Generally, on the T's, we just look at big picture stuff, but in a short-term picture, if you can get the intraday information and you have the money available, you have to decide what it is that's good for the long-term future but is being hammered for no good reason. And that's all I wanted to say about that. Going into the TLT, what the problem with the TLT treasury bond area is, we can't say too much yet. There's an ability to say that that low in mid-October is a center post of a downward pointing one, but I'm reluctant to do that, because I think that the third chart, which says that the VUSTX, which is the one that closes at 4 o'clock, has to be below the blue 52-week moving average, is the first thing that you look for. Then you can go start finding other ones. Okay, so that's all I have for that section. And so we'll close this one off, and then we'll go on and look at our other two little areas to look at.